the OTB Podcast Network.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
Let's get to GAA. Kieran Donaghy, good morning to you.
Good morning, Gerard. How are you?
How does the orange of Armagh sit on your shoulders?
I don't know yet. I haven't been up there. I'm going up over the weekend now, so looking forward to it.
To get fitted for the team tracksuit. What's your job going to be?
Just a coaching role in with Kieran. I suppose I was lucky enough to play with Kieran in the international rules in 2006. He coached me in 2011 down in Australia, and I was very impressed with the way he went about it, along with Anthony Toohill. We've been kind of kept in touch. He's got a good Kerry woman by his side, so he's down in Kerry quite a bit in Ballymac, just out the road from me here. So it's something that we've probably talked about for a bit, and that he's hopped off me before. So it was I've been doing quite a bit of work, I suppose. Gerard, look, like when I'm in with G. Gerard above in the studio there, people were saying, "Gee, how are you in the studio? It's 7:30 or 8:00 in the morning." Obviously doing quite a bit of work with PSD in Dublin. We have a big pitch starting in Enniskillen in about 2 months' time. And there's another project that we've won up there as well coming up. So thankfully, I don't have to go over to the UK anymore. We've got two full-time guys over there now. So I was doing that as well for probably a year. So that's been taken out of my hands, thanks for the God. And it's Ireland and Northern Ireland I have to look after in my role as sales director. So up there quite a bit, and it will allow me to use my work schedule and the Armagh coaching schedule in kind of similar fashions like I would have done with G over the last 2 years, been in studio early in the morning. Staying in the hotel the other night is lonely enough, and this will
give you something to do.
For me.
Yeah, it'll keep you busy.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Did you have to hide the fact that you've got Tyrone connections?
Yeah, possibly. The Tyrone side will be maybe, but look, I just didn't, you know, there was no call off of Brian Duher and Mr. Donnelly, so no, I'm only missing. Look, they've got their exciting new project going over there after such a long tenure with Mickey Hart, so I'm sure they'll be absolutely fine. And Kieran, in fairness to him, he talked to me at the end of last year a small bit, and then Kieran Dunn, we met a few times over the last few weeks and months, and I watched this Armagh side above when I was with Sky Sports on above against Mayo and Castlebar. They lost by a point in the qualifiers last year, and I was extremely impressed with how they were doing and the young talent they had. And obviously, you know, Kieran's been there 6 years now. He did 6 years with Kildare, so there's great continuity in the setup. The backroom team he already has in place is outstanding. So just hoping I can go up and just add maybe just a little different voice and a different viewpoint, and probably a fresh set of eyes. We probably be on Kieran's hit list as well. So it's a very exciting coaching. Is obviously something I'm passionate about and trying to learn, and very excited to get the chance to learn off someone like Kieran McGeaney, who has, you know, came straight out of his playing days and went straight into management, and you know, took that Kildare side to the verge of an All Ireland final, and has done great work with Armagh. They've been climbing through the ranks. They'll have, you know, a serious task this year in Division 1. Ulster's obviously always very competitive, but there's a very good, young, talented bunch of players there, and, you know, seeing what I can add to the equation there.
You obviously just feel that this is the right time, that you're ready for this, because I know from talking to you over the last number of years that coaching and management is definitely part of your future. You were just building the skill set over the last while. You know, you've worked with Tralee IT. Will that continue? Will you be able to do that? Or is Armagh the only thing you'll have time for?
So, yeah, interesting enough, we kind of had our meeting with Tralee IT a number of weeks ago, and we were certainly building up to Sigerson run, but we don't know. We're kind of in limbo, really, with third-level colleges and,
right,
and where it's at. It's kind of disappointing, really. They've kind of been left on the on the back foot, not knowing what's going on. So we were full sure it was going ahead. We thought it was going ahead. And we met as a group there about maybe 3 weeks ago. And we were planning to start training. And then we got an email that they said that we're not allowed to train. So, just don't know where that lies yet.
Right.
It's something I had a really enjoyable year inside with Micheál O'Donoghue and the Galway boys and learned a huge amount off of that setup and worked closely with the lads as well and still have a very good bond with a lot of those guys. So it's being in a group is I suppose it's where I'm happiest. Even in work with the team we have now and work is trying to lead by example there. There's a really good bunch there, Ger, from talking to Kieran and Young and so just hoping maybe just to bring a bit through experience and see if I can just add maybe 0.5% to the group on what they have done over the last number of years, which is climbing through the divisions around Division One. So it's going to be really, I suppose, exciting for me to get in and a huge challenge and I enjoy a challenge, as you well know. So looking forward to it.
Yeah, well, look, exciting times. We wish you the very best with it. Let's talk about the game at the weekend. If you're Mayo, what case are you making in the dressing room about how you're going to beat this team? Like, what are the things? Is it an emotional case, first off, to make sure that everybody believes what you're doing, or is it purely on a technical level, we can get at this Dublin team in various ways, and that gives the confidence for the emotional response?
Look, emotionally, they're going to have to be at the right pitch. They're going to have to be right on the edge against this Dublin team, because this Dublin team live on the edge and they do it really well. So you have to be at that peak, kind of almost to the point of fighting without fighting, but that type of controlled aggression about what you are. You absolutely have to have huge belief, and I'm sure James Horn and the management team and the backroom team, sports psychologists, etc., will have been working on that, on the belief of the team. They are going really well. They know they do perform well. They've got a lot of young fellas who probably have no scar tissue of Dublin and losing finals, etc. So For them fellas, it's kind of like a fresh start, and that could be good. It could be a bit of a relief for Mayo that it isn't the same team, kind of, we'll say, as last year, which had been there so many times against this Dublin team and so close, and the hard luck stories and the own goals, and no matter what seemed to happen, they couldn't get over the line. So I would say that freshness from those 6 or 7 new guys in the team, they'll be bursting just to have a go. But look, as everybody else is against Dublin, they have to realise that this is a different machine to anything they'll have played so far this year. You have to be pretty flawless. You can't make silly mistakes. You can't have bad turnovers. You have to play well. You have to execute. You may get a goal chance or two, and you have to really take those goal chances. That's kind of that's key. If you're going to beat this Dublin team, you need to get goals, and they have got really good Dublin in that department of team defence and not allowing goals to go in. So there's an awful lot needs to go well for you, kind of like what happened to Kerry in the first All-Ireland final last year. Kerry played well, they got a man, Dublin got a man sent off inside 20 minutes, and a lot went well for Kerry. They stuck in there, they got a bit of momentum late on, they took the lead, and this Dublin team with their 5-in-a-row dream kind of falling around them, were able to kind of conjure up through tactics and through smarts and through discipline. They were able to conjure up a late run to get the game back level and even have a chance to win it. So they're an incredible bunch. So to beat them, Mayo will need a lot of the facets of their game to go really well.
Let's touch on the goal scoring that you mentioned there and the people who might get those goals. I think almost there's been so much written and said about what Killian O'Connor and Aidan O'Shea are doing off the ball at the moment in terms of their turnover ability and how good they are in terms of their tackling and all that. But Killian O'Connor as a scorer this year clearly seems to have gone to a different level statistically. But have you seen him go to a different level as a footballer? Is he doing anything different this year that is leading him to getting these massive scores in games?
Look, statistically, he's the highest scorer and has been since last year when he was a 27-year-old, which is frightening. you know, he's an absolute sniper. He's a technically gifted player. He plays on the edge. Knows what he's about. Knows where he's trying to get to. And look, 4-9 the last, like, 21 points in a game is, I don't know, look, I've never heard of it. I haven't heard of it in an under-14 fail a game, never mind an All-Ireland semi-final. So it's an amazing note. Look, I've looked back in the game, obviously getting ready for today and getting ready for Sky the weekend. And we talked about this, myself, Jim McGuinness and Peter Kenevan on our con call the other night. And it was like, it was amazing. And, you know, it was an All-Ireland semi-final for Killian O'Connor that absolutely everything he touched was magic. Every time the ball fell in his lap, he was in the right place. Whenever he was went the extra mile working for his team, he got the break. You know, on the crossfield ball from Casey, he stepped in, he just touched it and went into the net. He was at the back post for one of the goals. You know, he got a lovely slip pass off of Aidan O'Shea going through and he banged in the goal early in the game. And then his last goal is... You know, that's his last goal is special. And I don't know, because of the stage of the game, did he get enough, you know, attention? But his last goal is absolutely unbelievable. Slips in backdoor, gets a ball in over the top. Yes, his man slips, but he turns around and comforts out in him. And he's massive man in goals for Tip. And, you know, Killian looks like he's going to the opposite side and pulls it across into the opposite side of the net that you would think a guy would go to with everything. His body shape, his body position was all going one way. And then a little left-footed shot kind of in over his right shoulder. So, yeah, like, you know, Aidan is doing really well at full forward. You know, look, in an ideal world, I'd love to see him in there, you know, and Mayo go with him and be direct and him not having to come out as much. But in the law of averages, with the way the game will go and with how strong Dublin are around the middle, he'll be needed out there at times. So I would say that he was very good against Cavan, coming out winning ball in front of him a number of times in the D. Almost like a kind of a post player in basketball will do when Dublin have that kind of blanket in front of you. If Aidan O'Shea, when it's slowed down and there's bodies everywhere, if he can kind of go into a kind of a post role in basketball where he gets out into the D when the ball has been rotated, he gets out and guys hit him into the chest with a hand pass if he gets out in front of his man. Because once he gets out in front, there's no getting around him. He's too physically strong for that. So if he can kind of get a shove off, kind of a la Ozzy Rules, kind of leading a lead run kind of type thing into the D, and if one of those guys that when the ball's going across the 45 on a rotation can hit him and get runners off him, you saw, as I said earlier on with the goal for Killian O'Connor, you saw with how good his slip was for him. So look, the two of them have been leading lights for Mayo for a number of years, and it would be fitting if they could get this one over the line for their county. But the pocket rocket is Tommy Goals in the corner, and he's called that for a reason. And geez, they'd be happy in Mayo if he got one the weekend. He's moving really well as well. He's ballsy. He's dynamic. He's quick. He got a ball down the line off of Stephen Cohen against Tipperary into the canal end over by the Cusick and canal corner. And he got a ball and you know, the minute it hit his chest, he just dropped the shoulder and he was just gone, passed in the Tipperary defender and I think it was Bill Maher kind of got it and just spun him and went straight in along the end line and Bill Maher to kind of drag him down and they got a 21-yard free. But, you know, he's been really dynamic as well. So their inside line is good and that has to have, obviously, a big game the next day, as long with everybody else out the field doing their role to get enough supply into them.
That is an interesting point, and I think that actually when you talk about Aidan O'Shea there and what he can bring in terms of getting the ball into his chest, the evidence is suggesting that Mayo, the more direct they go, the better chance they have of causing Dublin real problems. It's obviously a bit of a risky approach, but if we get into the Dublin defence and how they actually approach things, the kick pass from the middle third of the pitch direct into your two or three man full forward line could be Mayo's best weapon here.
Dublin do a great job of really not allowing themselves to be that exposed. One, they don't turn over the ball that much because they don't take it into contact. And two, they've kind of really good pressure around the middle of the field when fellas are trying to get their head up and their weak side or their extra man, as they'll normally have, which I don't think they'll have too much against Mayo. I think it'll be I think it'll be the weak side defender that will be probably playing more of a sweeping role on. But, you know, their defensive setup and shape doesn't really allow them to be too exposed with an inside forward line. What I possibly would do if I was Mayo is maybe bring, you know, Tommy and Killian out to the kind of D when they're back defending at times. Just to allow that out ball to Tommy or Killian to be faster and quicker, that they're not in the full forward line waiting for the guys. The gap is very big. When I used to be in full forward, I used to always send one of the fellas out next to me if the gap was big, to get out to the top of the D, even on the 45, to try and be that out ball for when your guys turn it over and get the ball back. So they don't want to kind of get caught with a scenario where there's three guys. They don't want to get caught and that kind of scenario where there's three of them. I don't know, can you see
yeah,
that?
Yeah.
But where there's three of them in this kind of a scenario where you've Killian O'Connor, Tommy Conroy and obviously Aidan O'Shea and everybody else is back kind of defending Dublin, as most teams have to do now because Dublin are so dynamic. So you have so many teams back. And if you get the ball back there, it's an awful long way to your full forward. Whereas I'd nearly like to see Aidan inside here and see Killian and Tommy Conroy playing that kind of a role where they can crisscross and maybe when the boys get the ball out that there's that kick pass. If you can get that kick pass off, now what happens in here is more dangerous. What Dublin are really good at is playing enough in front here where they take out that ball an awful lot and make it hard to get in there. So, you know, this access for Mayo, Aidan O'Shea, Killian and Tommy Conroy, if they're to get that kind of space... and the boys can turn them over. Now, the problem with that as well is actually turning them over, guys. It's Dublin don't do it. They did it once against, they did three turnovers in the opposition half against Cavan. I think one of them was someone tried to play a ball into the corner here and it got cut out by a Cavan player. And they moved it straight into the middle of the field to James Smith. James Smith was fouled. Kevin had more guys back than that. So they had that kind of a scenario. But what they left with inside here was Martin O'Reilly, the wing forward. He was one-on-one with Johnny Hooper. They got a foul. Dublin are very good at the tactical foul in the middle of the field. If they do feel they're exposed, the very rare times they do a turnover, you'll notice that they'll foul before the ball gets a chance to be punished almost after your turnover. They'll do that foul where they'll get a good hard tackle in, let you know about it. But you'll have to get up, and all the time then it's allowing Dublin to filter bodies back. But in this instance, when he was fouled, he kind of jumped out of the way of the foul and got away and just played a diagonal ball in here. And Martin O'Reilly won in and over the top, Johnny Hooper fouled him. And if they can try and work that kind of one-on-one, it would be obviously something that they should try and do as much as they can, because it's this Dublin team and how they defend is quite brilliant in what they do. So they'll have to get an awful lot to work right for them to play well against this Dublin defence.
That element could be something that Mayo are going to target, as you mentioned there. That Johnny Cooper moment was an interesting one. He was lucky to not get punished on that particular occasion.
And no black card and no kind of yellow cards for the persistent fouling that other teams get. That's the benefit of being champions, is it? Or is it just that other teams need to bitch and whine and piss about it?
No, Jared, they're just really smart about how they do it. You know, they're all so tight out in this middle side that if they're doing. Jim McGuinness has been commenting on this kind of counter press, kind of like the soccer style do. So if Mayo have lots of bodies back, you have maybe a Johnny Cooper, Owen Merchant, and maybe Robbie McDade out here, and they're the kind of swing guys when the ball. When the ball doesn't like what's happening out here and they want to rotate it out, they rotate it out and Johnny Cooper will take it over and he'll pass and all the guys will be doing all the excellent movement. They'll be doing the back doors close to goal. They're really good at that. But when that ball is being rotated, if they lose the ball, Dublin, if they lose it somewhere here, these guys just don't sprint back. They almost do what the soccer teams, Barcelona and Liverpool, are doing. They're getting straight up and they're picking the closest man who's trying to get out to them. They're picking them up. And then they're going to kind of like a real tight, aggressive man-to-man out here. And the only place they won't be aggressive is where a guy can get beat. So, you know, if that's Dean Rock and the fullback has the ball, he'll stay that kind of meter and a half off him where he's in his eye line, but he's not going to get beat and allow this guy out because once you get a guy out in the modern game now, teams are so good at using the extra man. So they won't get beaten up here. They'll stay very tight, connected. Or like if there's a thing we do in basketball, if you're kind of one pass away. So if you're playing in a basketball court, if you're two passes away, you should be in held position. So what I would say, two passes away is maybe this guy, when the ball's over here, he's two passes away. So what he can do for Dublin is he can get into held position. But all these guys are one hand pass away. So they're all really good. Dublin are really good at getting tight on all that and not allowing the out ball, we'll say. And what they do then is they try and get you over here to where they push you up the sideline. And they're very good at getting their body position. If this is the guy coming out and I jump to here, it's giving this guy a huge option to come inside me. Whereas if what Dublin do is actually get up here and actually encourage this guy to start going down the line. And once he starts going down the line, then they're the best around at using the sideline as an extra defender.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it hard. And what they're very good at also is realizing when a guy is out of the play. So Dean Rock is here on the fullback, kind of out of the play. He'll almost sneak in behind when he can. And then they get this double team that we're seeing so much of them on the sideline. So, look, they're so good at what they're doing. And defensively wise, it's kind of hard to break them down and hard to get scores off them. But look, that's just the beauty of how well oiled they are, and that's why they're so oppressive when they're seeing them. But that's the big thing that Jim McGuinness has noticed, that most teams, if they turn it over here, the initial reaction would be get safety back, get a guy or two back there to take away. You leave extra bodies. Now these guys can pass out very easily. Teams can transfer the ball quickly. But that's why we don't see Dublin exposed in the full back line really at times, is because they're so good at pushing you out the sideline and slowing you down and not letting themselves get up there.
It does sound like we're in one of those scenarios that we had with Mourinho and Klopp, where Klopp has had his 2 million days and Mourinho's only had the wet week to work with it. And I know James Horner has been there before, but this isn't... You know, this isn't year six or year seven of this group of players. It's a bunch of new players came in after last year was trying to wrestle one last tour from the old team. And this is, it has the bang of a new team. So can they get to a level where their proficiency and their understanding of the Dublin game plan is so great and sophisticated, and their own game plan is so great and sophisticated that it causes Dublin threats that they haven't seen before?
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, it's amazing actually what's happened with Dublin this year is that they've just been so seamless from the old management into the new management that it does. If you told us that Jim Gavin was actually managing this team and like instead of Desi Farrell, you would probably believe anybody who said that, because it does look very similar. There have been a few tweaks here and there, a few personnel changes, but it looks like the same management team, and the standards are just as high, and in many areas they've actually gone to a higher level again. So, like, I mean, this is the sort of fixture that can actually wind a team up so much to the point of obsession, I'd imagine, and Mayo would have thought about this for so long, and I'm sure coming up against Dublin last year was something that would have preoccupied them all year long, and then, unfortunately, they come up quite short in the end. But this is a better chance. This is as good a chance as Mayo will have because of the conditions around it, because of the lack of a crowd, because of the rest that they've had beforehand, because of the players in their peak, because of the new players, that beautiful naivety, the untarnished level of, you know, of their relationship with of a lot of these players between themselves and Dublin. A lot of these players haven't played against Dublin, haven't been beaten against Dublin, so this is a real opportunity on a mental level for them. I think Kieran, you're back with us there. Kieran, to go back to the point you're making about the Dublin defence there, just in terms of how the Dubs actually approach Mayo, say, breaking out of their own defence. I know you were getting into it there. It's amazing how they actually just step off the Mayo player running through. Almost they won't commit to the tackle in certain areas and try and force them out wide. And that's where you'll see your Johnny Cooper try and step up and actually make the turnover.
Yeah, the beauty about them, from looking at them, and especially I've seen them live, been lucky enough to see them live with Sky three times this year. How they go about their defensive duties is of great understanding. They all know what they're supposed to do. There's no fella going on a solo run trying to get a turnover and just running after some fella and blindly kind of going in and tackling them. Everything is scanned. Everything is, where am I in the pitch? Who's around me? All that is checking through their brain when they realise somebody is coming at them. So
can I ask you a question on that, right?
Yeah.
How much of that is coaching and how much of that is the individual players being excellent? Because it feels like that's the type of stuff that you could drill into most good footballers and athletes to get to a level where at least you're beginning to compete with them. But you watch most inter-county teams and they're not doing this stuff.
Look, I think we all thought when Mark Ingle went in there and that it was more kind of offensive stuff that he was working on. But listening to one or two interviews he did, it was mostly defensive stuff he was doing. And I'd say a lot of it was this, the scoring zone, you know, that arc around the D, we'll say, is obviously where the statistical... the stats will tell you that your shot percentage from there is quite high, and obviously anything outside the 45, the shot percentage starts dropping down. So what Dublin do really well is they really do a good job of protecting this D. They do it better than probably anybody, and their scramble defence is outstanding. So you may have seen in the Meath game, they broke through a few times. They broke through a few times on them, Meade, and when they were doing that, they were quite dangerous. But they never got a goal, and they never got near a goal. Killian Sullivan, I think, went through here once at one time. He bore straight down in goals. But what they do is they realise that there's trouble straight away, and the Johnny Coopers and all these, they've no problem in leaving their men and getting straight to the danger zone. And when he came through here with the ball, you know, Cluxton did brilliant. He came rushing out of them, kind of almost startles them. He did it three times against Meade. But what he's doing that for is he comes out so fast that the player is often kind of spooked by it and maybe tries to change direction, which allows the guys that are coming back in to the danger zone, allows them time to get tackles in and get pressure in. And often you'll see them throw it out. They'll throw it out to him or throw it out to him, and they may have a shot at goal. So they did that really well the against Meade, and that kind of danger, that stopping the danger would be like in basketball. If someone comes down if you're marking everybody out in the 3-point line and somebody gets beat and gets into the lane, you'll see the basketball defense will collapse, and it'll help around the key area, which is the very high percentage scoring area in basketball. And they'll try and get to there, force you to kind of kick it out and then scramble defense. So they just... it doesn't matter who's on who. Meade's first point in the Leinster final this year, they raced through on goal. Cluxton came flying out, spooked the attacker. He was jinking left, jinking right. Next thing, there was a swarm of six or seven Dublin fellas, and he ended up throwing it out to Brian Minton, and he had two guys diving on his boot to kick, and I think he pulled it wide. Actually, it was before their first score, he pulled it wide, and that was in the first minute, and you were kind of going, Jesus, maybe Meade might open him up today. And it happened again about 15 minutes later, and you know, that was the end of it. Then that was their two goal chances. They never got a shot at goal off. Yeah. Dublin were out on the boot quicker. Cluxton was out on the boot. The defenders were swarming back in behind them. So it's fine to say, Ger, that coaching would have a huge part to do with that, and constantly having guys to know where they are through video work, through stuff on the pitch, not allowing yourself to be beaten in poor areas of the pitch, and in good areas of the pitch to know what you're about. And they're so good at knowing when to double the ball. They're so good at knowing when to leave their man. They're very unselfish, defensive team, I would call it. They don't really care who scores once ye don't score that much. And that's the beauty of them. And their scoring percentage that they allow the opposition to have has come down over the last number of years. So they're getting better. Which isn't the good news for people in Leinster like yourself,
no.
Ger. They're getting better, and it's because of this isn't something that's been coached just by Desi Farrell. This is kind of, it's an evolving game plan that they've had both offensively and defensively over the last number of years. And that's why maybe, Owen, when you're saying, oh, you could look at it and you could see it, Jim Gavin is doing it. Desi Farrell is a very shrewd operator and a very good manager by all accounts. So, you know, he would have come in and tried to add a few bits to this, but, you know, them players are extremely intelligent bunch and highly motivated to keep the foot on everybody's throats, and are working constantly on ways that if we don't concede at the back, if you just put yourself in the Dublin dressing room and you're a centre back, a full back, you're saying, if we don't concede here, lads, you know, our boys will score enough up front. So yeah, that's a huge advantage to have going into a game.
Just very quickly, because we are out of time, Kieran, we should just touch on some of the matchups this weekend. So we're going to do these in rapid-fire style. The five most important matchups this weekend. First of all, who's going to mark Brian Fenton?
Look, obviously it'll probably have to be Matty Ruan. I think he's athletic, he's strong, he's powerful. He'll have to go toe-to-toe on with the Raheny powerhouse and must try to attack him too to keep him honest. But that'll be a fascinating one to watch.
Con O'Callaghan?
He's a dilemma for me because I think at centre-forward, Cohen will pick him up. He went to college with him, played Sigerson with him for a few years, will know a lot of his traits. My problem is when Con, I think Con is going to be deployed a lot more the weekend in at 14. And I think that's where the problems come for Mayo because Cohen is more comfortable at centre-back. He'd go toe-to-toe with Kilkenny, but, you know, that's a slight dilemma for me. Cohen will pick him up early if he goes to centre-forward, but I have a small bit of a fear of when he goes inside.
Kieran Kilkenny then, who's going to mark him?
I think Lee Keegan maybe. I think Keegan would like, unless Keegan wants another shot at Con after what happened last year. Leroy is a highly competitive guy, so he could be looking at that matchup and saying, I want another go off of this guy. Or he could be happy to try and stop Kilkenny, who's been, you know, one of Dublin's best players and probably, you know, in line for player of the year with how consistent he has and how brilliant he's been at a very new role for him, being inside much more often than that.
On the other side then, who's going to pick up Killeen O'Connor, do you think?
I think Fitzsimons will pick up Aidan O'Shea, and I think Killeen O'Connor will be picked up by Davy Byrne, and I think they'll probably put Owen Merchant over on Tommy Conroy. I think Davy will go try and be physical with Killeen. You know, there's a good... Mick Fitzsimons is the most experienced guy back there. He's 7 All-Ireland medals. He's going for 8. He'll be back there, you know, trying to put the shackles on Aidan. There's some fascinating battles out there the last day. Obviously, Mayo have to try and come out on top. If Mayo could come out on top of 3 or 4 of those battles, they'd have a good chance of being in a position to win this late on. But the fear is, you know, that Fenton, Kilkenny and Con could all, you know, have big games. And if they have big games, then Mayo will be in trouble. So, look, I think as a guy going into an All-Ireland final, you have to kind of look at your guy and say, look, not today. I'm going to have to win my own battle and just hope the boys around me can win that, but you can't concentrate on everybody else.
And who's going to win? By how many?
The neutral and the human side of me is obviously would love to see this Mayo team win. And if they get a day like last year where Kerry performed really well in the first half and the second half and their players play really well, they'll absolutely have a chance in this because they're physically as well prepared as them. Their kickouts would be a slight worry for me. The goal chances they gave up against Tipperary would be a slight worry for me. So look, the bookies aren't often wrong. I think they have it at 5 or 6 points, and it may be that. So look, I picked Dublin at the start of the year, so I'll stay with them, but obviously we'd all like to see Mayo finally end the jinx and just get their hands on it for this bunch of players and what they've put into the game, and they are respected as a really good team, and I think they could if they could get this All-Ireland over the line. They can consider themselves maybe more than a great team.
Yeah, no, 100%. I think that's exactly it. Kieran, good stuff. Thanks a million. Congratulations on the new gig again. Cheers.
All right, boys. Take it easy.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.